Well, good morning, everyone. I'm doing this video sermon for this Resurrection Sunday. The coronavirus scare seems to be on its last leg, at least we hope so. And we're still homebound, at least for the moment. But God's word goes forth. It always goes forth. And right now, we're celebrating the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead, which we can always do as well. But we need to be doing some other things right now. And I'm thinking that we need to be keeping each other in prayer. That's very, very important. Do not neglect prayer. Pray for the nation. Pray for the president. Pray for our church. Pray for TLC, the living church. Pray for unity and blessing among us. And that means you too. Just pray for all of us. Pray for revival. That would be around the world. That would be for the nation, that people will get saved through all this. Keep praying for your own family. Don't forget them. Don't forget anyone. Pray for people you know. God has us praying for people we know. And it's so important because God's listening, and he answers your prayers. And right now, we celebrate Christ and his sacrifice for our sins and his miraculous resurrection. We're celebrating in the Spirit. Now, Christ means Messiah, and that just means he's God's anointed one. And God sent Jesus as the promised Messiah to save the world, the Savior from our sins. He's God's only begotten Son also. Now, remember, he's the embodiment of God when we say that. He's also the embodiment of other things like love. He's the healer. He's Savior. He's gift giver. He's all these things. And his gift is everlasting life. He heals us from our sins. And he gives the ultimate meaning for human existence. That's a huge gift. But Jesus was rejected, and he was hated, and he was executed by people, the people he created. And this is a horrible reality of sin. But the death of Christ in that way was very necessary. Scripture explains that his crucifixion was the ultimate sacrifice to take away our sins. And it was always God's plan. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't random. You know, when Jesus came to teach about himself, he said, "I came so people may have life and have it abundantly." But Jesus had to die for people to get the life. So we must always remember that without the death of Jesus on the cross, we would still be dead in our sins. That's what you would be. But just as important, Jesus also resurrected from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says that if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins. Now recently, there was a national poll of people who professed to be Christians. Amazingly, 23% said they don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Well, this also means the faith that those 23% claim is futile. They're still in their sins. Now, I want to spend this time getting into the crucial importance of the resurrection of Christ. So prepare your heart for this sermon, why the resurrection of Christ is important. Let's pray. Father, I do ask that you bless us with this sermon, especially in this time as we are going through so much, but that we keep our minds focused on the resurrection of your Son, Jesus. We bless and glorify you according to your Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, one thing about this, very important, is that the resurrection of Christ is important because it was prophesied. You know, 1,000 years before Jesus came, David prophesied his coming. David also prophesied his death, and he prophesied his resurrection. We find this in Psalm 16:10. The prophecy says God would not abandon the prophesied Messiah's soul to the grave after being killed. This is what David prophesied. And David also said God would not allow Christ to decay. That's Psalm 16:10. And it says Jesus was not abandoned to the grave. Jesus resurrected in bodily form. And he appeared to hundreds of people alive. And then he ascended into heaven in front of a crowd of witnesses. See, this is a fulfillment of that prophecy in Psalm 16:10. And one of those witnesses that saw Jesus raised from the dead was Peter. Peter was a disciple. He became the Apostle Peter later. He was also one of the first people to see Jesus' empty tomb. Now, about a month and a half later, after this resurrection, Peter preached a sermon to the Israelites. And Peter told them God rose Jesus from the dead according to that same prophecy of David in Psalm 16:10, showing the importance of this. Now, later, a Christian persecutor was stopped by God, and his name was Paul, Paul the Apostle. And God called Paul to go out and preach the good news of Jesus. Apostle means sent out one, so he was sent out by God. And resurrected Jesus himself as the one who told Paul to tell people about Jesus. Now, Paul preached a sermon, his first recorded sermon. It's in Acts. And he said, Jesus rose from the dead according to that same prophecy in the Psalms, Psalm 16. So they all recognize this, and we need to recognize this. Paul also mentioned Jesus fulfilling a prophecy from Psalm 2:7. And he said, "We preach the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this promise in raising up Jesus, and it is also written in the second psalm." And then he quotes it, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." The resurrection of Christ is important because it's the fulfillment of the promises of the prophecies. But Paul kept on preaching. And he said, "As for the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead, no longer to return to decay, God has spoken in this way." And then he quotes this, "I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David." And then Paul said, "Therefore, God also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay." You see, it's all prophesied and it's fulfilled. Without the fulfillment of the promise, the blessings would never come. And so they would not be sure. But they are, and we're experiencing them. And that's what we're celebrating. And Psalm 40, 1 through 3 prophesied this. Psalm 40, 1 through 3 said that the Lord will bring Christ up out of the pit of destruction and set his feet upon a rock, making his footsteps firm, and that many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Well, this happened when Jesus resurrected. And the fulfillment of prophecy is so important. Don't take that for granted. Even when you witness and you tell people about Jesus, bring them to the prophecies, because the prophecies speak for themselves. They show the promise has been fulfilled. 700 years before Jesus came, Isaiah prophesied the Lord's crucifixion and resurrection. And Isaiah 53 says Jesus was cut off from the land of the living, that he would be in a grave. And it says the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief as his sacrifice, in which he offered himself as a sin offering. Well, that prophecy had to be fulfilled, and it was in Christ Jesus and in his suffering. But then it says this, he will see his offspring, and that God will prolong his days, and that as a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see light and be satisfied in resurrection life. Well, this prophecy had to be fulfilled, and it was in Jesus, word for word. You see, prophecy comes in many ways. Some of them are like life pictures in history, history pictures. And God ordained them to be prophetic pictures of the resurrection of Christ Jesus to come. In Genesis, we read about Abraham. He lived 2,000 years before Jesus. Abraham's life was a living prophecy picture. God told Abraham to sacrifice his only begotten son, Isaac. When Abraham was about to do it, an angel stopped him. And God provided a male sheep to take Isaac's place as a sacrifice. Hebrews 11 tells us Abraham knew God was able to raise men from the dead. Well, it says that when Abraham received his son back, it was a prophetic illustration of the coming of Jesus to be crucified and raised up victorious from the grave. What Abraham went through had to be fulfilled prophetically, and it was ultimately in Jesus. Jesus referred to the ancient past, to life pictures of himself. He referred to his resurrection that way. Jesus prophesied his resurrection referring to the life of Jonah, who lived about 700 years before. You know, crooked religious leaders approached Jesus one day. They asked him for a sign. They wanted to see a miracle to prove Jesus was the Christ. Jesus told them in Matthew 12, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign is not going to be given to it, except the sign of Jonah the prophet." He said that just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Well, Jesus rose from the dead on the third day because the prophetic sign had to be fulfilled. When Jesus prophesied his crucifixion and resurrection, he knew it would happen. In Luke 18, 31 through 33, Jesus was very precise. Within his own prophecy, Jesus quoted another ancient prophecy, Daniel 7:13, and it identified himself being resurrected. Daniel 17 says this, "With the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man," remember that term, "one like the Son of Man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days," that's God, "and was presented before him." Well, the Israelites had been looking for one like the Son of Man to come. And they knew Daniel had prophesied the Messiah, the Christ. So they referred to the prophesied one, the Messiah, the Christ, as the Son of Man. So Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man to his disciples in Luke 18:31 through 33. Jesus said, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and all the things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. He'll be mocked, mistreated, spit upon, and after they've scourged him, they'll kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. Who? The Son of Man. The Son of Man of the prophecies that had to be fulfilled. And of course, they were in Jesus. But Jesus had other prophecies to add. He did the same thing. He referred back to the ancient prophecies that explain it all. Matthew 26. Jesus prophesied to his disciples. He said, "You're all going to fall away because of me this night." And then he says, "Because it's written," he's quoting a prophecy, "I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Jesus quoted the prophet Zechariah from 750 years before, Zechariah 13:7. And what Zechariah and Jesus said was about to happen had to happen. And it did. Prophecy is so, so important. So the resurrection of Christ is important because it was prophesied as something that absolutely had to come about. In another confrontation with corrupt religious leaders, we read in John 2, 19 through 22, that Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And Jesus explained that he was speaking of the temple of his own body. And later, when Jesus was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered when Jesus prophesied this to the religious leaders. They remembered all of it. So it's important because all the prophecies about the resurrection of Jesus have always been the truth. They've just been waiting there, waiting to come to fruition. They're waiting in time, sitting there until they would play out in actuality. Very, very important. Now, another reason why the resurrection of Christ is so important is because it shows who Jesus really is. The resurrection identifies him. It's just like how Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a virgin being impregnated as a virgin. The prophecy identified her. Well, the resurrection identifies Jesus. Jesus said to the religious leaders in John 5:39, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have everlasting life. And these are they which testify of me." So the resurrection of Jesus testifies to the fact he is the Christ. If Jesus' body had remained in the tomb to decay, just like, you know, everybody else, it would have shown that he was just another guy, not the Messiah. Well, Luke 24 says the resurrected Jesus engaged two disciples in conversation as they walked in a road in the days that were just after his crucifixion and resurrection. So these two guys are walking along, and they're talking about it all, everything that happened. And resurrected Jesus came, and he walked with them, but they didn't recognize him. And so Jesus asked them about what they're talking about. And it says they were sad. And one of them asked Jesus, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" Well, Jesus asked, "What things?" And they said, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. And it's the third day now since all these things happened. But there were some women among us, and they amazed us. When they were at the tomb early in the morning, they did not find his body. So they came and they explained that they saw angels there who said that Jesus was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the woman said. But they did not see Jesus." Now, evidently, the two men walking along with Jesus right there, and they were explaining everything, they didn't see Jesus either, at least with eyes of recognition. And so Jesus said to them, "Foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" And then it says that beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, resurrected Jesus, he's walking with these guys, gave them a crash course about the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And the descriptions show who Jesus is. They show that he would be rejected and crucified. That shows who he is. They show that he'd be resurrected as the proof of his power and identity. The resurrection shows who he is. See? So important. Earlier in John 10, Jesus said his coming resurrection was a power and authority issue of the true Christ. It's what the true Christ does. And even in death, he says he lays down his life so that he will take it up again. And he said no one takes his life away from him, but he lays it down on his own initiative. He said he's the one with the authority to lay it down. He's the one with the authority to take it up again. And he said he received this from the Father. Well, Jesus' resurrection is so important for showing his power and his authority to be true. Proves who he is. Shortly after saying that, Jesus went to a man's tomb after he died. The man was Lazarus. John 11 tells us Lazarus' sister Martha was there. Jesus told Martha that her brother was going to rise again. Martha said she knew Lazarus would rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And so the resurrection of Jesus is very important because it shows that he really is who he told people he was. And it shows we get our resurrection and our life through and in him. So it shows that he needs to be believed for life after death. It shows that if you believe in him, you will never die too. Now, so think of it this way. That prophecy actually is continuing. So consider that as people receive and believe him, those people, as they're receiving and believing, different ones are added to God's people, they will never die. So this is why the resurrection of Christ is so important. It shows who Jesus really is. But there's more. The resurrection of Christ is important because it guarantees sinless life with God forever and ever and ever. You see, way at the beginning, Adam and Eve sinned and brought sin and death into humanity. It's why it all is such a messed up world. It's why we have coronaviruses. It's why we have death. It's why we have sin. And because of Adam and Eve, we all inherited this messed up world. We all inherit sin. Big problem that you have. And we all inherit death. It's the big consequence of the big problem. We all have it. So we all sin and we all die. And we all experience the results of sin in this lifespan as we go through this world. Well, God told Adam and Eve that although Satan the serpent would bruise the heel of the coming offspring of the woman, which is a prophecy of Christ, the bruised Messiah would ultimately be victorious and would destroy Satan, destroy sin, and destroy death forever. Through Christ, we are regenerated into new creations. We are recreated out of a spiritual death into spiritual life in him. Now, with that life, your body, my body, is going to be changed in the future into perfection, just like him. No more sin, no more pain, no more confusion, no more diseases, no death ever, ever, ever again. It's going to be changed. All through history, God's people have been looking forward to this. But it required both the sacrifice and the very, very important resurrection of Jesus to get it. The ancient biblical figure Job knew this prophetically. Job 14:14 says that Job asked, "If a man die, shall he live again?" Well, Job knew the answer. In Job 19, Job's prophetic insight gets to the issue. He said, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And I know that in my flesh I will see God." Well, Job knew our living Redeemer guarantees everlasting life. Job was not afraid to die. Job believed God will fulfill the everlasting purpose concerning the lives of all his covenant people. And this is why the resurrection is so important. You are his covenant people by grace through faith in him, in his crucifixion, and in his resurrection in respect to your sins and in respect to the everlasting life. Hebrews 2:15 explains that people are in bondage to the fear of death. But it says that in Christ, there is no fear of death. And it's talking about the assurance of everlasting resurrection life, which is all based on Jesus rising from the dead. You know, resurrected Jesus told John prophetically in Revelation 1, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and Hades." All of this is why the resurrection is so important. It takes away the fear by grace through faith in him for forgiveness for life. So, God's word makes the assurance, and we find it in 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, "Don't be ignorant about those who died in Christ. Don't grieve like those who have no hope. You believe that Jesus died and rose again like promised. You are assured that God will bring with him those who have died in Jesus." And it says, "He will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise, and all who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And everyone will always be with the Lord." So you know that. Now what should you do? It says, comfort one another with these facts. This is what we're celebrating this morning. And so the celebration is giving all praise and glory to God for what's happened, but we need to be comforting one another with these facts because it is the ultimate comfort. They show the importance of everything and the importance of the resurrection. It's the gospel of salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul the Apostle said, "I make known to you the gospel which I preach, by which also you are saved through faith." Okay, well, what's that? Well, he said the gospel he preached is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and then he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And he said, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of everyone who dies in him. In Adam all die, but in Christ all will be made alive by grace through faith. And then Paul said, the body is buried as a perishable body. So we think that's coming. We know it comes for most of us, unless Jesus comes back again and takes us up. So we know that the body's buried as a perishable body. But then Paul says, but it's raised as an imperishable body. The dead will be raised imperishable, changed in their resurrection. And so the resurrection is so important that it's something that you need to receive and believe. It means salvation to experience it too. Romans 10 says, confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. The resurrection of Christ is important because the graves of false saviors are still filled with their decayed remains. All the false paths they taught have failed people, including their own selves. Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed for people to die, and afterward comes judgment. The resurrection of Christ is important because it dictates the outcome after death and judgment. Jesus is the one who gives the living relationship that brings us back with God. It's more than a religion. It's a friendship relationship with the Creator that you get by grace through faith in him. And it goes on forever and ever in that life. So the grave for those who receive and believe is only a doorway to paradise. So the resurrection of Christ is important because life right now behind that doorway on our side hurts. And things like the coronavirus takes away physical life. Well, the resurrection of Christ is important because it gets us out of the bondage to cursed bodies and a cursed world of sin, cursed world of disease and death, and you get what Jesus purchased for you. Because it is, it's a payment. Payment with his life, but you get the resurrection life into perfection that's so amazing that your mind can't even fully grasp how great it's going to be. There's just no way. It's going to be beyond anything we can imagine. But it will never, ever, ever, ever stop, and we can know things like that. So the resurrection of Christ is important because in him, you know that your life is not a waste. God has a purpose for you to fulfill right now, but also forever. It gives you the assurance to know that everything, no matter how bad it gets, is ultimately okay in the grand scheme of things. The resurrection of Christ means you can share it with others. You know, when they hear about it, they get the opportunity to receive and believe too. And that means they can enter into glory with Jesus forever and ever, with all of us, with you too, in Christ Jesus. But they need to hear it, and they need to believe it. And that's what salvation has for all of us who look forward to forever and ever through the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Amen. So I'm just wanting to encourage you right now in this coronavirus time where we can't be together as a church, just keep remembering the resurrection of Christ. Keep remembering who you are in him. Keep remembering your own resurrection that's going to come. But remember, the message needs to be shared. Share it some way. You can always open a door just by saying, hey, I'm saved, or I'm a Christian, or just show people that you're a Christian, and then we'll ask questions. And then just tell them, well, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. He died for my sins, and then he rose from the dead. And you can direct them to these prophecies. It's all an open door. So in this time, let's just pray for our nation and for our church and for the people around us. Father, I'm just so grateful that I was able to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus this morning, even if it's this way, from our homes. And I ask, Father, that you continually bless us for your glory. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.